Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. When a client's IRA drops in value from $1 million to $500,000, it's hard for that client to accept that he can't even get a tax deduction for his loss. But that's the trade-off for investing inside a tax-free entity like an IRA. The good news is you don't have to pay any current tax on the investment income and profits earned in the IRA. The bad news is that when your IRA investments lose money, you don't get any tax benefit from the loss. There's no tax on the upside and no deduction on the downside. Actually, though, there are a few, very few, ways a client can get some benefit or consolation, at least, for investment losses that occur inside an IRA. There are only three I know of. I call them restore, realize, and recharacterize. Unfortunately, most clients won't be able to benefit from any of them, but let's see what they are. Let's start with restore. In a few cases, a client's IRA losses are caused by the wrongdoing of an investment advisor or firm, and the client is able to successfully sue that professional or firm and recover the losses. When investment losses inside an IRA are caused by the malfeasance of a financial advisor or institution, and the participant wins a financial judgment or settlement from the advisor or institution, the participant can generally contribute the settlement money he won back into the IRA and not have that contribution be treated as an excess IRA contribution. The IRS regards the contribution as a replacement payment rather than a new IRA contribution if the payments are made to restore IRA losses resulting from breach of fiduciary duty, fraud, or securities law violations. The payments generally must be made pursuant to a court-approved settlement or independent arbitration or mediation. Punitive damages and awards for attorney's fees cannot be contributed to the IRA, however. But most IRA owners' losses were caused by just a decline in the market, decline in the value of the investments, not by someone else's malfeasance. So most of us cannot use the restore method to refill our IRAs tax-free. This brings us to the only method out there for actually taking a tax deduction for losses in an IRA, and that is realize. Most investors understand that they can only deduct a loss once it is realized. If you own some GM stock outside your retirement plan and it goes down in value, you know you don't get a deductible loss until you sell the stock. Selling it, that's when you realize the loss for IRS purposes. But for investments inside an IRA, even selling the stock inside the IRA is not enough to give you a realization event. If you want to realize a loss for your investments in an IRA going down, there are three strikes against you. Strike one. To realize an IRA loss, you must close out all of your traditional IRAs at once. Strike two. You're deemed to have a deductible loss only if the total value you receive upon closing out all your IRAs is lower than the total amount of your non-deductible contributions to your IRAs. Strike three. Finally, even if there is a loss after all that, the IRS says it can only be deducted as a miscellaneous itemized deduction, which is a pretty poor excuse for a deduction. Well, for the vast majority of IRA owners, closing out all their IRAs is far too drastic a step. And also, usually most people's non-deductible contributions are such a small amount that there wouldn't be any loss to deduct anyway. And even if there were a loss, a miscellaneous itemized deduction would not save them any taxes. But just in case, I will review the details of what I call the three strikes against you here. Regarding closing out all your IRAs, that would mean closing out, in one taxable year, all your own traditional IRAs. Any IRAs that you hold as beneficiary of a deceased person, those would be treated separately, so you would not have to close those out just to claim a loss on your own IRAs. Similarly, if the loss you're trying to claim occurred in the inherited IRAs that you hold as beneficiary, you would have to close out all of your inherited IRAs to realize the loss, that is, all the IRAs you inherited from the same person, to realize the loss, but you would not have to close out your own IRAs. Now, how much is your loss? Well, the amount of a person's loss on an IRA is determined by comparing the total amount that you receive when you close out the IRAs with your basis in the IRAs. Basis means the amount that the individual has already paid tax on, i.e., that person's after-tax money in his IRA. Now, the most common way that you might end up with some after-tax money or basis in your IRA is to make non-deductible contributions. So if your annual contributions to your IRA have been non-deductible, you've been building up basis in the IRA. And each individual is required to keep track of his or her non-deductible contributions to IRAs by filing Form 8606 each year with their federal income tax return. Supposedly, by looking at your client's most recent Form 8606, you can tell what his basis is in his IRAs. There's one other way to get basis in an IRA, which is a little less common, and that would be if the client rolled after-tax money out of a qualified plan and into the IRA. Basis of that type would also appear on Form 8606. Well, if after closing out all your traditional IRAs and comparing the total amount you received with the amount of your basis, you discover that there is indeed a loss, which would be unusual in itself, but if you do have a loss, we come to strike three. The IRS claims the loss is deductible only as a miscellaneous itemized deduction. Miscellaneous itemized deductions are not deductible at all, except to the extent the total of such deductions exceeds 2% of your adjusted gross income. After you go through that, and then you apply the reduction of itemized deductions for high-income taxpayers and the alternative minimum tax, typically there won't be much tax benefit left out of that deduction. So much for realize. Let's move on to the third method of getting some consolation or compensation for IRA losses, namely, recharacterize. This one applies only to Roth IRA conversions. When a client converts a traditional IRA to a Roth, the client must include in his gross income the full fair market value of the converted IRA, minus any basis, of course, as of the conversion date. If that Roth IRA later declines in value after he's already paid tax on its former value, that client's going to feel like a sucker. He will want to undo his Roth IRA conversion and get his money back. Amazingly enough, he actually can do that for a certain period of time. It's one of the few places in the tax code where you get a do-over. You get a mulligan on Roth IRA conversions. There is a deadline and there is a price that must be paid, but you can do it. Unconverting your Roth IRA is called recharacterization, and that's our third method of ameliorating investment losses in an IRA, in this case a Roth IRA. You recharacterize your Roth IRA conversion simply by transferring the assets out of the Roth IRA and back into a traditional IRA. For example, if you had transferred $100,000 worth of mutual funds from an IRA to a brand new Roth IRA, which later declines in value to $60,000, you can simply close the Roth IRA and move all its assets back into a traditional IRA. And even though the investments might not be exactly the same at the time you move them back, and even though the value has declined, by moving that money from that account back into a traditional IRA, you have recharacterized your conversion. and the effect of a recharacterization is it simply erases the original Roth IRA conversion. And the $100,000 of gross income that was generated by the conversion is simply eliminated. Of course, there's a deadline for doing this. For most people, it is October 15th of the year after the conversion year. So for a client who maybe did a Roth IRA conversion in 2008, generally speaking, their deadline for unconverting that is October 15th, 2009. A client who does a Roth conversion in the calendar year 2009 generally has until October 15th, 2010 to recharacterize and change his mind. There's always an exception, and the little exception here is if a person doesn't file his tax return on time. His deadline is April 15th, not October 15th. Hopefully all our clients file their tax returns on time, whether by the due date or the extended due date, which means they would have an October 15th deadline for their recharacterizations. There is a price, though, for recharacterizing a Roth IRA conversion. The price is that if you've done a Roth IRA conversion and you later recharacterized it, you can't instantly jump back and convert it to a Roth IRA again. You have to wait. If you want to try again and convert that same money to a Roth IRA again, you have to wait until at least 30 days or until the tax year after the year of the original conversion. Note, that's not the year after the recharacterization, it's the year after the original conversion. So, if you recharacterize your Roth IRA conversion, you can't convert that same money back to a Roth until the taxable year following the original conversion, or if later, 30 days later. So right now we're in April 2009, and if a client had a 2008 Roth IRA conversion, he recharacterizes it in April of 2009, well, that client's already in the taxable year after the original conversion, so he can, if he wants, go back into a Roth IRA with that same money 30 days after his recharacterization. As you can see, though, unless you're in a position to, quote, restore, close quote, stolen money, or realize losses by closing out all your IRAs for less than your basis, or recharacterize a recent Roth IRA conversion that's declined in value, you have no way to get any benefit or recovery from your IRA investment losses. So for most of us, the only remedy for IRA losses is to just hang on and hope things go back up again. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.